You are listening to the Healthier Business Podcast, where today we are focusing on ourselves as we build healthier diets and nutrition with our guest, Mr. Brian Grinn. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to our host before I give away all of the good secrets. And with that, please welcome Josh Melton and Chad Brown.
What's up, entrepreneurs? Welcome back to the Stronger Business Podcast. We have a unique and interesting topic and guest today for you. It's going to be a real treat. I know I'm going to learn a lot. And if you find yourself tired and in the drive-thru at Chick-fil-A way too much, trying to find some answers, trying to get educated on how to take better care of yourself, how to have more energy for your business, how to get stronger from a health perspective, then hey, today's episode is for you. We have a intermittent fasting expert, a wellness coach. He's an author. He's a human movement specialist. He hosts a podcast. So much going on, so much expertise in this area. Brian Grinn, welcome to the podcast, man.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
This is going to be fun because I do a really good job trying to be healthy, but I have absolutely no knowledge and education in this at all. I just do whatever I think I'm supposed to be doing, and I've never researched any of this. So I'm curious about everything to do with getting healthier, having more energy, cold showers, hot showers, intermittent fasting, all the things, Josh. I think I'm going to be the perfect guinea pig for today's episode.
You're going to take lots of notes, Chad. I got to tell you, so Brian, as Chad was doing the introduction there, I felt like he may have been attacking me when he talked about no energy, going to Chick-fil-A every day in the drive-thru. Like, I really felt a little bit called out. It was embarrassing. But hey, let's jump into your story here. Your podcast is legit, man. You got over 100,000 downloads to your podcast, which is called Get Lean, Eat Clean Podcast. I was telling Chad about it earlier. I listened to several episodes here in the last week. Learned some things. I had a big question I was going to ask today on the podcast, but your podcast answered it for me. It was about, does coffee break a fast or not? So I got 7 or 8 minutes worth of knowledge on that earlier today. But man, how long have you been doing your podcast? Because I think for us, we've been doing the podcast for a couple of years, and we know how much work and dedication it takes, especially to go, you're over 200 episodes, I believe it was. That's a, you know, commitment level there. And to have 100,000 downloads, people don't understand how that stuff works, but that's a big deal too. That puts you in the top echelon of podcast creators to have that many.
No, I appreciate it and glad to hear you listen to some of it. And I started it, it's been probably 2 years now. I should look at the exact date when I started. I could probably pull that up somewhere here. But I appreciate it. Yeah, the podcast is, it's been great. I'm sure you guys would attest that, like, just meeting new people, the networking, and just the knowledge that you gain from having different guests on. I do one where I interview someone and another one where it's just sort of a small little riff, like, you know, 7-8 minutes of myself just talking about a topic. So, yeah, I love it. So.
I told Chad when we were coming on the episode, I was like, Chad, you need to turn that Starbucks cup around, man. I listened to Brian talk about making sure your coffee was, you know, organic and didn't have pesticide sprayed on it. I just don't know if that Starbucks cup is going to give you away or not.
I felt Brian judge me when, like, the video opened up and, like, my venti iced coffee from Starbucks was sitting.
That's probably why you started slinging those Chick-fil-A.
I was going to move it, but I could tell it was already too late. Yeah, you know, the stage had been set.
Yeah, yeah. Coffee's a big one. That topic always gets brought up for everything. So, yeah, I mean, if you're consuming it every day, I mean, you definitely want to know what type of bean you're getting and where it's coming from, right?
So, what's the quality of bean I'm dealing with over here?
Well, you're getting it from where? Starbucks?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're getting anything that's like commercial, Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, etc., I would just assume it's not great. You know,
fair enough. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people walk into stores, they think they go into Whole Foods and everything in there is going to be healthy, and it's sure not. So, you got to just learn to, you know, I bought, this took like 2 years to get it. It's called a Spin, and it's got this technology where, you know, it grinds your coffee beans down. And, it took like 2 years to get. I think I ordered it right around COVID. But anyways, I got it because my wife loves coffee. I'm like, well, if you're going to have it every day, you might as well start making it for yourself. So I think that's a good tip to do for.
All right. Yeah, that makes sense. Well, how did you give us a little backstory? Why is this so important to you? How did you get into this space? Tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had an interest in health and wellness growing up. I mean, I originally was like finance and studied, like went to LaSalle Bank, which was a LaSalle Bank in Chicago. Now it's B of A. So I was in commercial lending, and I actually just always was interested in health, just didn't do it as a profession until a few years out of college and realized that this was something I really wanted to pursue. So just pursued sort of the strength end of things, getting people strong and focus on resistance training. And then I think I realized 10 years into that, you know, eating and meal timing and you know, sleep and stress, these are all just as important. And so I started just, you know, getting educated on that side of it. And then just sort of grew from there, went off on my own more so around COVID time, and just been helping mainly middle-aged men, I would say, is my main audience, and helping them, you know, 40 years and older. I'm 42, so I can relate with them, and just helping them, you know, get back in shape or just get where they want to go. It's been a fun journey.
Well, I think this is the first time I've identified myself as a middle-aged male. So this podcast just took a depressing turn for me.
I love it.
I'm like, yeah, those 50-year-old guys, yeah. They do. I mean, they need help. It's like, oh, yeah, anybody over 40? I'm like, Jesus.
That's a great thing, Brian, that you're saying this, is that I'm like, man, you are talking to your demographic, because I turned 42 in like less than 2 weeks, and Chad's 42. So I'm like,
oh, we're all 42.
You're right in the 42, man. You got your ideal client sitting right here across the Zoom meeting.
Oh my God.
But you know what you're saying, those things too, right? Like, I think for, you know, our audience, it's a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs and business builders, people that are given a lot of time to their hustle, whatever it may be. But you know, these are people that are, they're achievers. They want to, you know, pursue excellence in their lives. And a lot of times that goes toward their careers. And so what we find, and Chad and I'm, you know, this has been probably a challenge for us over the years, but it's easy to put a lot of the things you just mentioned on the back burner, to put your, you know, physical fitness. You don't have time for the gym. You know, I really don't have time to eat healthy because I'm always on the move, and I don't sleep as much as I should because I get the kids to bed, then I stay up and work till 1 a.m. And a lot of the things that we know are detrimental to our long-term health, and honestly, even short-term health and energy levels, and all the things that we need, we do a really bad job in, because we say we don't have time. And I'm sure you hear that excuse if you're dealing with lots of 41, 42, 45-year-old men. So let's walk through some of that, man. I know our listening audience would love to hear about, how can I make good, sound decisions when it comes to those things when I have a, you know, challenging lifestyle, so to speak.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, since a lot of people are working from home too, you are surrounded by, you know, the foods that are at your house, in your house. So, I think if for most entrepreneurs, like including myself, I work from home, and, I think the biggest thing and the easiest, like low hanging fruit that a lot of people can do is just make sure that the things in their house are, you know, single label ingredients, you know, not a lot of boxes and barcodes, things that expire quickly. Make sure those are the like 80% in your house that, you know, you, if you're going to reach for something, it's there. And that the 20% are sort of, you know, it's not about being perfect, I should say. It's about, you know, finding what works, but like, you know, you can splurge every once in a while. Just make sure that that's not, you know, the 80%, make sure that's the 20%. And so I think that's like the biggest thing. It's just, if you don't buy it, you don't eat it, you know? So like a lot of the things that I buy are just things, like I said, that expire, that, you know, that are fruits or vegetables or meats that, you know, have to be eaten within a certain time frame. And so I think that's first and foremost. If you're talking about time when it comes to working out and things like that, you know, that's something that I think is all about just prioritizing your workouts. And by that I mean, you know, for me, I already have my week planned, like on Sunday, when my workouts are going to be, what time they're going to be, just like you would have a business meeting scheduled, right? You're not going to miss that business meeting no matter what. You're going to plan around it. And it's the same thing when if you do that same process for working out, you're most likely not going to miss that workout. So I think prioritizing, you know, workouts, making sure you have them pre-planned for the week, you know, finding what times work best for you for those workouts. Perhaps it's a time when there's a lull in the day. We all know, like, at least for myself, I can only sit and do work for like 20 minutes at a time. And then I need to like move around or do something else. So I try to find those times where like, it's just a perfect window where I know I'm probably not going to do much work. And then I, you know, those are the times where I sort of will put in that workout. So I
love that. Those two topics and tips there, because that's something very tactical that makes it super easy for anybody to understand. For me, it resonates because it's like, hey, just go buy things and keep them, or the things around you that are healthy, because you are in a hurry when things hit the fan or business gets tough or a lot's going on. You grab the quickest thing within reach or the fastest thing you can grab going out the door or coming in the door. And if you have healthy things at home or around you, you're going to grab it, whether you don't care near as much about what it is or what it tastes like, is the convenience factor from a business owner standpoint. But also, I don't have to be educated in knowing, is this protein? Is this keto? Is this macros? All the terms and things I hear that I don't know anything about. It's like, hey, if it expires pretty soon, it's probably pretty good for you. If it doesn't, if it's in a box, it's probably not good for you. So that seems pretty simple, along with just plan your schedule on Sunday and stick to it. So. It's not easy, but it seems pretty simple.
What do you see the clients that you work with? What are the major resistance factors that they have? You know, what are the excuses that they hold on to that keep them from these things?
Yeah, everyone's got their own excuses. I mean, I think that a big one is, a lot of times when you get into your 40s or 50s and beyond, you've had these habits for so long. And so I think that's the biggest struggle with a lot of people, is when you're used to doing something and eating your bagel in the morning or whatever for the last 20 years, changing those habits, sometimes it's not so easy because we are creatures of habit. So I think the easiest thing to do is just simplicity and just take one step at a time and pick one thing that you want to change. And even before you get to that point, maybe figure out why you actually want to make the change. What is going to be that driving factor? Is it going to be because you want to be able to be around for your grandkids, or do you want to be able to, you know, run and play catch with your kids? Whatever, you know, whatever that reason why is, I think that's first and foremost. And then from there, it's about just taking that first step to, you know, becoming a better version of yourself. So
I have this theory that I think people feel like they're healthier than they are, or they feel like when something happens to somebody else, that it's like something unique and they're in a better situation. They justify themselves eating better, being in better shape. Do you see that a lot? Is that something that you feel is the case for a lot of people?
Yeah, I think there's some truth behind that. I think that to some degree, it's probably a bit of denial. They don't want to come to terms with that, or think that they're like, oh, well, that happened to that person, that, you know, that's not going to happen to me. I've been fine for these many years. And so they haven't had any, like, they don't have any urgency, right? The only time though that a lot of people take action is if there's some type of urgency behind that, whether they go to their doctor or someone, or they're like, well, you know, you failed a stress test. You know, I've had people come to me, they fail a stress test, or they're pre-diabetic. And so now they're in a bit of like, oh, it's like a wake-up call. And I think that's what you're referring to, is people are just sort of in a bit of denial, and they've been doing these habits for the last 30 years and they don't want to change. And until something, you know, something urgent comes, they're not going to.
I know for me, I think it's a mind trick, so to speak, that I still feel young. And at 41, 42, I mean, it's not like you're, you know, old, right? Like, we would still say
called out being a middle-aged male.
You felt pretty middle age. That's not old, that's middle, right? That's right, not hot or cold. It's in the middle.
I was a young man this morning. I'm a middle-aged male. Is that
a lot of maturity in you today, buddy? But no, I think that one of the things that I get caught up in is that, you know, in your 20s, and then for most people in their early 30s, if you're in relatively good health, you're probably used to bouncing back pretty quick from things. And now I'm starting to run into, you know, minor challenges in my life that I don't bounce back from. Or it's like, oh, this thing's got to carry on a little longer than I thought it would. Because I'm typically, again, in my mind, it's like I still feel young. Like, you just recover from everything. The mentality of it, the mindset is thinking that everything just continues, you know, oh, yeah, it'll get better. Which I think leads to these failed stress tests. So somebody's like, oh, yeah, it'll get better. And then eventually it's like, hey, man, it's not getting better because you aren't doing anything to make it better, other than to expect it's just going to magically get better. So let's say, Brian, Chad comes into you because Chad's super stressed out all the time.
Yeah, I'd fail. I was thinking when he said, I don't know what a stress test is, but I'm pretty sure I'd fail that.
He's like, I never met a stress test. I couldn't fail. But when someone walks up to you and it's like, hey, I failed a stress test, what happens next? Because seriously, most of our listeners, sometime in the last 2 weeks, would have failed a stress test. You know what I'm saying? We're operating high stress lives for a lot of us. We're taking on more than we should. We're achievers. You know, we're trying to conquer things. Well, what type of conversations do you start having with these men when they come and talk to you about some of the common challenges that they have? Let's say stress test. What are the questions you're going to start asking? And what's maybe some of the advice that's general that you might start giving to people?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, I'd probably find out like what their typical week is like. Because, you know, like I said, we're creatures of habit. Whatever we're doing on a weekly basis, we're probably doing on a monthly basis and on an annual basis. So to keep it simple, just find out like what is their daily and then weekly routines like. And then after looking at that, realizing, well, what can we do to, you know, you talk about stress, to counteract or handle stress better, that sets us up, you know, sets us up not only for the day, but also for the week. So, for example, if I notice that there's nothing in that individual's routine that has to do with, I don't know, maybe just getting outside or walking in nature or something, it might be literally the just going out for a 10-minute walk first thing in the morning, or after your meals, picking some time during the day to maybe go out and go for a walk and get in some nature. You know, mindfulness is not something that like a lot of guys want to like say they do, I would say. I mean, I think it's becoming a little bit more mainstream, you know, as far as like meditation and things like that. And I don't think you need to necessarily meditate for an hour. I don't meditate for an hour, but finding some type of balance in your life when it comes to, if you're always stressed and you're an entrepreneur or always on the go, how can you balance that out? So I think that's like a big one. And then obviously that's always coupled with, well, how's your sleep? And so I think those two things, creating some type of sleep routine, and then also another time where it's literally just like you're away from everything, your computer, and you're just sort of doing some type of like mindfulness meditation.
I think the challenge I see right now is there's so much information, internet, Instagram, and so much of it contradicts. I mean, you hear on one hand, hey, sleep's really important. You need to be getting 7.5-8 hours of sleep, especially as an entrepreneur business owner. But then on the other side, it's like all millionaires get up at 5 a.m. They take cold showers. They never sleep more than 6 hours. And it's like, damn, like what's, do I got to like get up early and take cold showers to be successful? Or do I need to get 8 hours of sleep? What the heck is the right answer?
Yeah, there is a lot of contradiction going on. I mean, even just like with my podcast, you know, having guests on that I've had one guy's a carnivore and the next guy we're talking about how, you know, you should be a vegetarian. So, I mean, I think going back to your question about sleep or getting up early, it's an interesting one because for myself, I work best in the morning. I'm my most productive. So I try to do all my like mental tasks that I have to do for the day first thing, if I got to read something or so. And so I think you got to find that balance. And I understand why people want to get up and get things done. It's quiet. I mean, I love the mornings, but sleep should be a priority. There's no doubt about it. So if you're finding out, if you're figuring out that, well, I'm getting up really early, you might have to just go to bed earlier. I mean, I think first and foremost, sleep is like the number one priority. I know, you know, for me, like I like to get up early and do things, but I also make sure that I go to bed at a consistent time to make sure that I get at least around seven to eight hours of sleep. I know everyone's a little bit different. And so I guess, I don't know if that answers your question, but I think, yes, I think first and foremost, sleep is most important, but then also like, you know, finding out when are you most productive and then really doubling down on those times.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Yeah, I got to ask you these questions based off what Brian just said. What is your average like bedtime, like you're asleep?
So everything in my life, I try to systematize and try to like barrier myself. So my phone has this little like gentle chiming, like relaxing tone that goes off at 11 p.m. And it's like, you need to be in the bed. And it's like a little alarm that pops up. So I try to be in the bed by 11 and really be asleep by 11:15. Now that often gets derailed. Last night it was like 12:05 or something, but I have a set time. I get up at 5:55 every morning. So ideally I go to sleep around 11 and I get up at 5:55.
So you're getting roughly, you're getting 6.5 hours of sleep a night.
I try to make sure I get 6.5, and like, I try to be just consistent. So even on the weekends, I try to stick to that same routine. But for me, I'm like you, I despise the first 5 minutes of every morning. I despise, like, so much so, talk about like my phone like stays in the bathroom, and when my alarm goes off, it plays rap music that gets louder every second, and you have to get up and go do two math problems to turn it off. You want to talk about a pissed off spouse when like skanky rap music comes on at 5:55 and like you're slow to turn it off? Like, my wife is like, seriously?
You should use my rap for this.
So like, I hate getting up for the first 5 minutes, but once I'm up, like, I love the mornings. Like, I love being up. I love getting stuff done. I'm most productive. But for me, that's a 6.5 hours of sleep, and force myself to get up at 5:55 with some rap music and math, and then
As an accountant, how often do you screw up those two math problems?
They get challenging, and like, I try not to turn the light on, and like, I'm all like groggy and I can't half see, and then like the rap music doesn't stop. Like, it's like, it keeps going, and
it's like an alarm. It makes the pressure.
It's like, there's pressure, and I'm like, Jesus. And sometimes, like, I'm telling you, like, it chooses the songs. It can get skanky. Like, I mean, it can get like raunchy rap music at like 5 something.
Brian, your first advice to Chad should be, hey man, your like wake up routine should probably change. That sounds super stressful to me, man.
I was thinking that. And also too, if you're having it ring at like 11 PM, like, what, if you want to be in bed by 11:15, like, so you're doing, so would you say you're doing work up to 11 and then you try to go to bed 11:15?
It depends. A lot of times I'm reading, or sometimes I'm working. Sometimes I'm just hanging out. I've always been a situation where I hate going to bed. Like, every night I hate going to bed. So it's more of, I'm trying to just like try to be somewhat consistent, but yeah, I need some sort of like reminder of like, hey, it's time to go get in the bed. But now the awesome thing about my personality as well, and I guess the way I'm geared, is I lay down, I go to sleep. Like, I'm out in a matter of a minute. So it makes it pretty easy to lay down. And
so, Brian, what's your routine look like, and what would you suggest to people? Because I know I've heard a lot of things where people talk about, hey, don't eat, you know, this many hours before you go to bed. Don't look at any type of
screen time. Yeah.
Do you have a certain rhythm that you're following on a consistent basis?
Yeah. And I was going to say, you know, Chad, you're lucky in the sense that you can, you know, some little ring can go off and then, you know, you can go to bed 15 minutes later. I think for a lot of people, I was going to say, even for you, if you want to have that go off maybe an hour before you want to go to bed, and that way you can sort of have like a night routine where you're not around screens. Like, you know, like you mentioned, maybe getting away from screens, reading, which is great. Just doing something that, you know, even like my wife and I were doing like a night meditation, and it was like 10 minutes long. So it wasn't long, but it's just a nice way to separate the day from like going to bed, and just like sort of gives you closure for the day. Because I think a lot of times if you're working till 11 o'clock and you're a little, and the ding goes off, people can't turn their brains off. I mean, you're good at that, but you're in the minority. So I think that giving yourself at least an hour to wind down is a great way to finish up the day, and having that ring go off is fine. I think that's a good thing, just to sort of give you a reminder, okay, get away from the computer, because it happens to all of us. I mean, if I have to look at something towards the evening, I do have those blue light blocking glasses, which you can get anywhere, and they're all fairly good quality for the most part. And so I do wear those probably past like 8 o'clock. I have those on, and it took a little while to get used to them. And, but it's not like a style, you know, it's not like, I'm not winning any style contests, but, anyways, yeah. So I think that's a good habit to get into, wearing blue blocking glasses if you do have to look at any light. But I do think you should have a time where you're not doing anything that's work related, and it's just sort of maybe reading a book that's, you know, casual book, or doing something that's just for yourself, or you and your partner can do.
I like that. And I tell you what I used to have that issue where I couldn't, like when I lay down, I couldn't turn it off, or I'd wake up in the middle of the night in panics or my mind racing or different things. And I figured out a lot of it had to do with caffeine. If I had too much coffee during the day, or if I ever had days, this kind of what led to behavior with working out so much and being so consistent working out, is I figured out days that I didn't exercise. Like I had some sort of like bottled up energy that like made it harder to go to sleep. And I'd wake up at 2 a.m. in a panic or like racing. And so once I started like an exercise routine, that seemed to like fix a lot of my going to bed and sleeping issues. But I, you know, I still from a habit standpoint, I try to stay consistent, but I struggle with that. Just going to bed part sometimes even now.
So yeah. One of the things, Brian, I think that too, for all of us, we're looking, anybody in life, regardless of what they're doing, would probably desire to have more energy than they have, right? And I know for me, there's times where, again, I feel like, oh, things feel good. And there's other times where I'm like, man, I'm reluctantly going to bed because I don't want to go to bed, but I'm tired when I'm going to bed. Or I'm like,
yeah,
like I'm not feeling like I'm optimal in my mental clarity and things like that. And you've really made a career out of helping people to fix some of those challenges and then, you know, eradicate the symptoms by focus on, hey, what is causing those symptoms? So can you get into a little bit of that in regards to intermittent fasting has been something I've practiced, not like nonstop, but through seasons of life. And I've honestly had a lot of benefit from doing so. You've made that, like, you become one of the like leading experts on how to incorporate this for guys just like us. So can you talk a little bit about ways that we as, you know, achievers can generate more energy in our lives and what we need to do to create systems to produce that for us?
Yeah. So energy, it's a big one. I mean, I do like using fasting as a tool. I also will say that fasting can also just be, it can be overdone. Fasting's a stressor to the system, right? Just like exercise is, you can overdo exercise. And Chad, I was going to say that, like, it's, you want to make sure that you do have time to recover from your workouts. I mean, going for a walk, you know, there's certain things if you want to consider exercise. I mean, but either way, so I think recovery is important. So if you are working out a ton and you're feeling like you are a bit sluggish, you know, day in, day out, and you're working out, like, you probably need to recover better, especially obviously as you get older, you need to. Like I make sure I have at least 2 days of, I don't do anything like as far as lifting or anything. Maybe I'll do like light yoga or something. So recovery is really important. But yeah, I mean, energy, you know, energy is a tough one in the sense that like a lot of it's tied to the foods you could be eating. I think a good note is maybe keep a journal of foods that you feel like are sort of weighing you down a lot during the day. That doesn't mean you have to avoid them, but you know, I would say that for the most part, at least for me, for energy, like, you know, I incorporate proteins and healthy fats with my meals, especially in the, you know, I'm not fasting every day now. I'm starting to actually try to eat a little bit more. Sometimes people do undereat. I think this whole one meal a day thing you probably can have great energy throughout the day. But I think if you do that for a long period of time, that can take a toll on, you know, hormonal health and things like that. So again, fasting is a tool. You don't want to overdo it. But I was just going to say the foods that you're eating throughout the day is important, right? So proteins and fats, and you can add in some healthy carbs, but I would say maybe with starches, add them towards the end of the day. They can actually help with sleep. You know, if you're having I think a lot of times people start their day with the wrong type of foods, and that could lead to sort of energy depletion. If they're having croissants and donuts and bagels and things like that. If you're going to have those things, if those are really something you still want to keep in your life, I would probably have them more towards the end of the day. Cause those are going to cause, energy drainage, probably just because you're just going to be on this roller coaster of insulin and glucose. So also too, I think I don't do it enough. And I think that especially entrepreneurs where you're working all, you know, all day long, and we all know we need breaks, just like a power nap. Honestly, like, you know, that 15, 20 minute, close your eyes, you know, quiet space. I think we get away from that. I do. I know. And I think a couple days ago I did one. I'm like, why don't I do that more often? You know? So I think everyone needs that no matter how healthy you are. I think it just, sometimes these stressors can take a toll sometimes in life, and it's good to just, you know, close your eyes for 15 minutes.
So you mentioned something there about starting your day And that's probably the biggest place of confusion and lack of time I have in my life, of trying to get up, get a workout in,
do the math problems,
do the math problems, listen to a little bit of rap music, do some meditation, take a hot or cold shower, whatever you're doing at the time, and getting dressed, getting to work. People have kids to get to school. Like, how do you start the day somewhat healthy where I'm not having to cook breakfast or go out and pick fruit and run a blender or whatever the heck goes on with the, all these different morning things you're supposed to be doing? What's, do you have one go-to item like, hey, Chad, just grab this every morning or buy this, and that's the best thing you can eat in the mornings. It's fast and easy.
So you're asking me about nutrition in the morning.
I mean, I need a breakfast hack. That's what I'm asking you. I need a healthy breakfast hack.
Fast breakfast hack.
So you want something fast and healthy. So how, why don't you just, are you sensitive to eggs or can you eat eggs? Do you mind those?
I can eat eggs.
So how about just make a bunch of hard-boiled eggs for the week?
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's it. That's a, you know, you're getting healthy fats, good protein, right in the morning and easy, right? You all gotta do easy. Yeah. Easy. So I think that's, that could be, you know, have 4 eggs in the morning or something like that to start the day.
All right. I like that. Four eggs in the morning.
Yeah. Yeah.
And those guys will stay good in the fridge for a while. All right. I can boil these things on Sunday and I'm good all week.
Yeah.
Close to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That should be. Yeah.
Are you eating anything with that, or is that what you're eating? Because I know if there's been times where I've done some programs before where it was like that would be something that you'd eat on the go, but they may say eat pecans or almonds with it as well. So is add anything to it, or is it just good to go with that?
I mean, you could be good to go with that, really. I mean, if you want to add some, I would say if you want to add some blueberries, you know, maybe some blueberries or raspberries, maybe some type of berry. With that, I think those are easy. I've been adding that in a lot in the mornings. If you want to add in pecans or almonds, I wouldn't go crazy with the nuts, but you know, some people are sensitive and sometimes it could just cause digestive issues with some people with if they get a little carried away with nuts. But I would say, yeah, some type of fruit and eggs is a great way to start.
All right, I like it. We're going to get 7 hours of sleep. We're going to eat some hard-boiled eggs, a little bit of fruit in the morning. We're on the right track.
I wouldn't drink the coffee right away. Let your body wake up naturally. Yeah. A lot of people just, that's the first thing they grab, including my wife. So I always give her a hard time. Although, so I would wait a little bit. You know, let your natural circadian rhythms wake yourself up. If you could go for a walk. I mean, you guys live in Atlanta. I live in Chicago. I got up this morning. It was 20 degrees. I went for one. So there's no excuses over there.
That's a good point. It's like 65 this morning for us.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. I would love that. I would have loved that. Yeah.
Sunburn on the way to work this morning.
You show up and go for a walk in July, though, in the mornings. It's a little different story around here. That's where we get the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So. Right. All right. So Josh, you're way more in tune with this and educated in this than I am. The whole like stressors or the intermittent fasting, the cold showers, the shock your system, those things. One, so many people are talking about that right now and the benefits and what it does for them. Why should we be doing that? Should we be doing that? Is that something you do every day for the rest of your life? Or these like small windows? I know nothing about these things and I don't know why you do it, so I don't do it. So I'd love some conversation around that.
Yeah. So I think, you know, for myself and clients, I think it's important to understand again that these are stressors, just like fast, just like exercise is a stressor. So I think it depends on the individual. Like if you are just loaded with stress day in, day out, you know, maybe you got to be careful with adding more stress onto your day. Do you know what I'm saying? So like, for example,
it's not a stress reliever.
How about this voluntary suffering, if you want to call it that, this can help you make you somewhat resilient a little bit, right? Like you're putting yourself or almost through like this mental test. If you want to say like cold plunging, for example, which is something that I do from time to time, this is something I really enjoy and it's great just for mood and, you know, getting those endorphins going, you know, so even for myself, like I've had some, you know, like reducing inflammation. So I think if you could do some type of cold plunge, I mean, I love it. I actually put one in my house. but I think that you can also just do it in a tub and fill it up with ice. It just can be a bit of a pain in the butt. But I think if you want to do some cold exposure, maybe start out and just do like a few, maybe 10, 15 seconds of cold water in your shower in the mornings. I think that's a nice way to start the day. But again, you know, you want to sort of see how the day's going. You know, if it's a stressful day, probably don't do it. But if it's a day where you're feeling good and you want to maybe add some type of voluntary stress, then you can add in some of these hormetic stressors, they like to be called.
Okay. And is this something, and this is where I get confused, is this something that's like helping my body like live longer? Does this decrease my risk of getting cancer? Or is this just like to make me feel better every day? Or is this to be mentally tougher so I can deal with more crap in my business? What's the end result of what we're trying to accomplish with some of this?
So like, why are you doing a cold
plunge? Why am I doing a cold plunge? By the way, I love the cold plunge on Instagram too, because I got a lot of people I follow, like they bought some like $20 freezer off Craigslist they're climbing in every day. And then I got other friends that have these like installed, like lit up LED type things installed in the floors of their bedroom. It's $100,000. So it's like the different caliber of cold plunges I see is insane.
There's quite a few companies now. The one I got, this company's out of California. It's called Renew. I definitely splurged on this one. but I had a perfect room to put it in. That it, you know, even if it like water splashed on the ground, it wasn't causing any, you know, any issues with the house or things like that. So, and I had to obviously put it indoor. You see a lot of people like in California where they have them outside, which would be great. I would love to do that. But as far as benefits, I mean, you know, there's been some science around cold exposure helping with like immunity, boosted immunity. So it can help like increase like your immune cells. And this could be helpful for, you know, just making you stronger from that sense. I mean, improved mood, I can tell you that, like, there's been research around like blood plasma levels where your norepinephrine is increased quite a bit from just going in the cold. So increased mood, attention, focus. And I can tell you that just from going in it, that's for sure. And then, you know, just even like athletic recovery. I don't do them the days where I strength train, because when you strength train, you're causing actually inflammation in the body, and you don't want to, and that's good inflammation, right? And you don't want to counteract it with going in cold. If you go for a 2 mile run or a mile run, you can go jump in cold. That's fine. But if you're lifting weights, I wouldn't do it the same day. So even athletic recovery, obviously with inflammation and things like that. So, you know, there's some other science out there. I think there is some things that, to be determined as far as benefits, but those are some of the ones that sort of stick out.
I like that you talk about it being a stressor, because I think that
I've never heard that before. That's
like,
really
actually it's a stress you're adding to your life, and so if you're having a really stressful day already, maybe that's not the thing to do. Because I think most of us are hearing about it and we're seeing it, and it's like, oh, this is something you're doing to, you know, whatever.
It's like gonna fix my problems if I start taking a cold shower every morning.
And because the people that take a cold shower every morning are more evangelical about it than my Christian upbringing was, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. As far as in, they're soul winning for that cold shower, man. Talk about the benefits of it. But yeah, it is interesting to hear you talk about it in a little bit of a different framework. All right, Brian, so you've developed something I want to talk about, because I think that it could benefit our listeners here. But the Fat Burner Blueprint Program. Oh. Can you talk to us a little bit about that? Because I know for me, and again, I'm not somebody that's really ever struggled with like my weight or anything like that. But I have at certain times been like, hey, I'm going to follow a ketogenic diet and intentionally try to increase my metabolism or burn some calories, burn some fat, whatever it may be, just as part of my fitness journey. But Fat Burner Blueprint Program, I think to me, Chad, I'm like, oh, as an entrepreneur, like that just sounds kind of cool to me. It has the word blueprint in it. You know, we're like business blueprint, business plan. It sounds like a plan. Right. So could you talk about that program and then why you developed it, and then maybe some components that our listeners could put into their lives to help, you know, again, get more energy and to create better health?
Yeah. So I created this. God, it's been a couple of years now. I actually, and I'll let you guys know, I have a book coming out. Still in the works right now. It's taking longer than I thought. It's going to be encompassing sort of my whole journey regarding this blueprint and how I put it together. But just to give you sort of the high level, I mean, simply put, it's just taking clients on a 6-month journey through mainly 6 principles. One is creating some type of clarity around what they want, why they want to improve their health, you know, so just understanding and creating awareness around that. And then from there, we focus on sort of those low hanging fruits, those major culprits that are sort of, that can make the biggest impact in their health, because, you know, starting out, you want to create those wins, right off the bat. So that's step two. And then from there, it's about activity upgrade, right? So like, finding out what they've done in the past, and then, you know, figuring out a optimal routine for them that they can add into their lives and make it long-term and sustainable. And this would be like probably for most entrepreneurs, something that's quick and easy and efficient, time efficient, even if it's a 20-minute workout. Then from there, we talk about like sleeping like a superhero. And that's all about just like building a routine around sleep and prioritizing it as like the number one thing for building, having energy, but also building, you know, it can help you build strength, and it can help you be more productive throughout the day. So after sleep, then we'll focus on stress. Everyone's a little bit different. Some people are, you know, need a little bit of help around stress management. Some people need a lot of help around that. And so, you know, some type of mindfulness practice, you know, something to downregulate the system. And so that's step five. And then the last step is like nutrition and meal timing. And definitely nutrition is something that's always been an interest of mine, and I'm not dogmatic on one style or the other. I think everyone's a little bit different, and you know, we talk about a fat burner blueprint, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we do keto per se. You know, I don't think keto's for everybody. It's just the basics around, you know, healthy eating, and then meal timing around, you know, when is the best time to actually eat your meals, and to make it, you know, make it sure that, you know, obviously, you're following a plan that's easy and sustainable throughout the day. So
I think most people have probably heard the term before, meal planning, but I don't know how many people are familiar with the term meal timing. So could you tell us what that is?
Yeah. Meal timing. It's interesting. There's some research around, eating when it's light out and eating with your circadian rhythm. So, I think one of the biggest things that can hurt a lot of people is when they're eating late at night. And so we want to make sure that, you know, we're putting these meals in times of the day where, one, it's best for us, and as far as like just being efficient throughout the day, and two, that we're not like eating in times that aren't advantageous for our health. And so like in the mornings, you're a little more insulin sensitive. So those are actually times, you know, a lot of times people think of fasting and they'll fast all morning. And I've done that for a long time, but sometimes if you find that you're fasting all morning, but then you're eating all night, that's not going to be a formula you really want to follow. So that's when I talk about meal timing.
And as far as an intermittent fasting is, I think we've thrown that term around a few times too. Sure. Can you briefly explain what that is? Chad needs to know. I don't know if he knows.
I know it's like you don't eat or drink for 12 hours and then you like eat a bunch in 6 hours. Yeah. I need some help.
So you want to give us your definition of it and how people apply it into their lives.
Yeah. I mean, it's really just abstaining from eating food for a certain period of time, simply put. Right. And so this abstinence can be at times that work for you. The most common sort of allocation, if you want to say, is like a 16-8, where you're fasting for 16 hours and you have an 8-hour eating window. It doesn't have to be like that for everybody. Some people, you know, I've gone through stages where I've had enclosed that window. And then there's other times where I've actually given myself more time. And I think it depends on the individual and sort of their goals and what they've done in the past. I think what it does for a lot of people, most importantly, is one, it gives you boundaries around your day. And it's good for certain people when they find themselves that they're eating at times that they shouldn't be. And it sort of like closes the kitchen at a certain time and opens it at a certain time. And I think for a lot of people, we need those boundaries. So I think that's probably the most important thing that fasting can do.
Okay. That makes sense then from the boundary standpoint. And then I'm seeing now even people go into this, like I think it's sort of done it a couple months ago where he's like, I'm just going to drink water for 3 days and some water fast. Like, mm-hmm. is that all just mental toughness type exercises, or is there any real benefit on the health side of those things?
Yeah. So it is, yes, you're right. It will create some type of mental toughness. I think the big thing that it does is it can give you gut relief. right? So like having a healthy gut is probably like, if you talk a lot of like health experts, they'll start with the gut, right? And so one of the biggest things that fasting can do is it gives you gut relief. And so that's first and foremost. Secondly, I think the big thing, if you do an extended fast, is one, you want to make sure that you have, if you've had some experience around doing that. I mean, if you've never done it and you just want to do a 3-day water fast, I mean, you got to be careful with that. I would ease your way into doing something like that. You also want to make sure that you're getting minerals too, because a lot of times people lack minerals in general, you know, sodium, potassium, in particular. And so you want to make sure that you are getting minerals throughout the day as well. If you are especially doing an extended fast, but yeah, I mean, it can create mental clarity, mental resilience, makes you appreciate what you have. I think that's a big thing. And, you know, you hear about autophagy, which is like some type of, almost like a cleanse for your body. And there are some research, there is research around that as well. So, you know, some type of cell cleanse is something that we do every night, but this would put it almost in a little bit of overdrive. I don't think everyone needs to be doing extended fasts, but if you have experience and you want to try it, you know, once a year or something, I think there's no harm to that.
All right. So we're about to open up a can of worms here. I didn't want to go here, admit this, but you start talking about like gut health and like maybe there's some reset button that can like fix you, you know, if you have some gut health problems. So drink a lot of coffee. I work a lot. I'm not in the grand scheme of things, like, deep down, very stressed off. I just stay amped up a lot. I eat healthy. I eat salads a lot every day and try to take care of myself. But I am somewhat on this auto renewal subscription of Tums through Amazon, where like $40 a Tums shows up once a month. So when you talk about gut health, I got a feeling I'm probably not in great shape there due to the amount of
anybody with
antacids I eat
with an automatic replenishment order on Amazon for Tums. I mean, I wouldn't say they're stressed out at all, Chad. You're like, I don't think I'm really stressed out.
I don't think it's stress. I think it's the combination of like coffee and working too much and, you know, just a
big box of Tums really from the UPS.
Bad behavior for about 20 years. Just catching up with me now that I'm a middle-aged male. What you talk about this gut, health. Like if we feel like we've dove off that ledge and we need to reel it back in, what is that reset and what do we need to do?
Well, Chad, it sounds like for you in particular, since you're on a subscribe and save of Tums,
if you buy $40 worth a month, it's a great deal. Like I'm saving about $80 a month.
So are you popping those like, you know, like Skittles?
It's typically for me, I don't eat any during the day.
He's got a solve two math problem.
But a lot of times at night, if I don't, I eat later, which is a problem. I try to like look after that. But a lot of times at night, if I just don't eat Tums before I lay down or before I go to bed, like I'll wake up having all sorts of like acid reflux issues.
Got it.
Then a couple of things like alcohol does it. Anytime I'm drinking alcohol, I usually take a couple of times before I drink and then several when I get home from that. So there's just some things that set it off that I know I should change, but I enjoy the lifestyle part. So I just supplement the Tums to be able to do what I want.
I saw Brian look down for about 30 seconds, Chad. And what I think he was doing was booking a flight from Chicago to Georgia to come to an intervention here probably in the next couple of days.
He's coming up with this Blueprint Pro program for people with this past the original course.
I can put you on my fast track program if you want that. So I would just say for your case, Chad, you talk about like eating and then going to bed. And I do this especially because in Chicago, it literally gets dark at like 4:30 now. It's so early. Going for a light walk after you eat your meals can really help with digestion, and especially before you go to bed. So I would start doing that.
Brian, can I ask a quick question here?
It's a great idea.
I know this guy that's to my right here. Does this need to be a walk outside without electronic devices, or can he be on his treadmill answering emails while he's doing this walk?
I'll say this. Any type of walking, I'm fine with for you. I mean, I think the purpose of this walking is just to help you digest. But if you're walking on your treadmill and looking at emails, I just hope you don't fall on your face. That's all.
Oh, I've mastered that. I got that. I got a treadmill desk and a Peloton desk. I can do emails shoot. And bike at like 17 miles an hour. It's amazing.
Okay. So that I'm fine with that. I mean, I would say if it's late at night, I wouldn't be doing stuff, but either way, I think going for walks after you eat.
That's good. Yeah. I've never done that before. I always do my exercising in the morning. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. I do that a lot. Like I'll go on my treadmill in the basement, like for 15, 20 minutes, maybe, you know, it's not that late. I'll maybe put a ball game on and just sit there and just go for, you know, or make a phone call or something. So that's a good one. That's a good one. And then, you know, I don't know how much coffee you drink. It sounds like you rely a lot on it. I would say if you want to talk about before you even do any type of fasting, just abstain, just go periods of time without coffee.
Okay. I used to go 2 weeks a year without coffee just to make sure I wasn't addicted, but it's, I think COVID kind of threw me off that.
Hey, I got one for you. Go 2 weeks without Tums. Let's see if we can survive that.
That too.
Oh boy, I don't think I'd be a train wreck of like a mess at that point. I think
do it over the holidays too. That'd be great.
All right, I like that. All right, so go without coffee. I really think the light walk every night after dinner would be like a game changer for me. That's smart and really good. And then I do need to take a break. I usually have a cup of coffee. I only have 2 cups of coffee a day. Now they're big cups, but I usually have one around 8 or 9 in the morning and one around 2 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So I try to limit how often I'm having it, but it's still a lot of caffeine and a lot of rely is a good word.
Do you in your workouts, are you sweating? Like, are you a sweater? Like some people sweat, some people don't sweat.
Yeah. So my goal with working out every day is like, for me, I want to sweat. So I push to sweat every day and try to at least generate some sort of heart rate that's in that range.
Yeah. So you have to also be aware that, you know, you're losing losing electrolytes. So, and you're drinking coffee which is dehydrating. So what I would get a quality sea salt that you put on your foods. And then two, you might want to add in some type of mineral sparkling water or mineral water throughout the day. Because you're losing a lot of, you might find, and that's another thing to talk about energy. A lot of times that people add in salt. I just had Rob Wolf on my podcast who owns a company Element. Mm-hmm. And you can check that out. I have one right here. Like they have all different flavors. This one's chocolate caramel. And they're all sort of flavored. I mean, it is an expensive route to go. You can definitely find less expensive routes, but they have different flavoring. They have also plain. And what I'll sometimes do is I use coffee, but I use it strategically before my workouts, and I'll put their chocolate sea salt with some type of a cold coffee, and then I'll shake it up and I'll drink that before my workout. So yeah, adding in minerals, I think, is important because you're sweating and you're drinking coffee, which is dehydrating as well. So you want to make sure, most people are dehydrated in general throughout their whole lives anyway. So
as you're saying that, it kind of makes me laugh because I just looked over here and I'm drinking a Perrier right now. So we've given all this opportunity for Chad to be made fun of. Now's my opportunity. But it says carbonated mineral water right here, Chad.
Oh, there you go.
And then right underneath it says low mineral content.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah.
It's like, hey, this is carbonated mineral water.
But there ain't a whole lot of minerals in here, buddy.
But hey, in all seriousness, when it comes to that, when drinking water, I know right now for a fact, like I'm dehydrated, you know.
Right.
But while I was recently doing that program, I was drinking a gallon of water a day. And so I'm sure my hydration level is probably way better than it currently is. But one of the things with drinking for me, and not to say you got to drink a gallon of water a day, but I just get tired of drinking water. So is there a benefit to drinking something like is it all right to drink like carbonated water or things like the, I can't think of, we call them fizzy waters since I have kids, but different brands of that. Is that all right? Or do we need to be drinking pure water? Can you drink something like this?
I think that mineral waters, sparkling waters are great. Yeah, no, you don't have to drink. I mean, for example, like I give my wife a hard time. She drinks vitamin water. I think it's junk, you know, so there's a lot of junk out there, but you got to make sure. So, you know, I would say if you could get like Gerold Steiner's, a nice, good sparkling water, they make a good mineral that, which is, it does, it's not low in minerals. It has, you know, good minerals in there. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, I mean, you definitely, just drinking water's not going to really help with hydration. You got to have electrolytes in there.
Whoa.
Because it's just passive.
Just drinking water doesn't really help with hydration. Okay, this is important because pretty much all I drink is like coffee and a lot of water, and that's it. So
I've seen people drinking recently. So this is social media, but a lot of people drinking some form of salt water, which is something I haven't seen in the past. But if, for that reason, right? It's like, hey, this will help you to stay hydrated.
Yeah, I mean, it's so electrolytes play a role in fluid balance. And so fluid balance is what keeps your blood flowing, your eyes moist with tears, your sweat glands functional. So sodium and potassium, those are like your chief balancing electrolytes. And sodium helps balance fluids outside cells. Potassium helps balance fluids inside cells. So you definitely, you know, drinking water is that's not hydration. It's hydration is equals water plus electrolytes. And I'm not talking about Gatorade. You know, I'm talking about like, you know, adding salt to your water is, I would say, the easiest and least expensive way of doing it.
All right. Can you give us just, if you know one quickly, if I want to start drinking the salt water, what's the mix need to be here? Am I need to be drinking 8 ounces with a teaspoon in it? Because I know Chad will ever do it.
I need some help here.
He'll drop 17 tums in his water and think that that's going to benefit him.
Yeah.
But now what would be a good way to get started with starting to consume some salt water into our diet?
Yeah. I mean, it could be as simple as, so I buy Mineral Drops. Okay. What's the name of it? Mineral Drops. And you can go on Amazon. What's the name of the company I use? I can't think of. Oh, Concentrace Mineral Drops. And those are really easy. It's, you know, right on Amazon. Trace Mineral Drops. That's a good one. And that has magnesium, chloride, potassium. Yeah, that's a good one. You know, I like these element packs. And I actually, I am an affiliate of them, and you can go on and they offer some free samples and things like that. But, you know, it's definitely a little bit more expensive. You could also just do Redmond Real Salt and put that in your water and let it sit there for the day. And that's another way of doing it. And just make sure that you heavily salt your foods.
All right. I got to get focused on the busy entrepreneur who's not going to, you know, cut up a bunch of raw vegetables to add to his diet because he's never going to justify the amount of time to do it. But what are some quick things that we can, things kind of like what you just mentioned? Hey, these are some quick things that a busy person could add to their daily diet or weekly diet that they would start seeing some results from. If not like dramatically increased energy levels, it's like, hey, this will just put you toward the path of being better hydrated or feeling a little bit better. Are there any kind of quick tips you have for us as the things we could add? That again, focus on the term being quick, but that would help to increase our health, or excuse me, increase our energy from our daily lifestyle.
And you're talking for food?
I was thinking food, but if there's other tips that you can add, I know one of the things I saw in your bio was micro workouts, and I was like, that sounds fun. What's that? But it could be anything that we could add. Just to, again, that's focused on people that you can't, you know, entice them on the front end of it to add a bunch of time invested. But little quick tips that they could add that would at least get them going in the right direction.
Yeah. So first and foremost, I would say is focus on resistance training, right? We're talking about males that are 40 plus, right? So you don't want sarcopenia, which is muscle loss as you age. So resistance training, I would say 3 days a week. Prioritize protein. Most people under eat protein, especially as you age, you actually need to eat more than you think you need to eat. So I would say 0.7 to 1 gram per pound of desired body weight. So if you're 170 pounds, you know, I would say around 150 pounds is around 150 grams of protein per day
I'm way under that.
Yeah. Because like I said, most people under eat it. So prioritizing protein, resistance training, and then hydration, we talked about, you know, those are big levels, you know, prioritizing sleep. We talked about, what else am I missing? I would think those are good places to start. I mean, and then I would just say is picking a time to stop eating at night. I think you don't have to be some crazy faster, but if you say, you know what, I think this is something that I know I do all the time, but like 7 o'clock done, right? Kitchen closes 7:30, gives yourself 2 to 3 hours at least of your body to digest and break down the food before bed. That'll help promote sleep as well. So, you know, and then getting out in nature. I think walking, like I said, Chad, I think that's a simple, easy thing that everyone can do. I do it. I'm going to go on one. I have two dogs, you know, right after this. So, you know, if you can go on two, three walks a day, that's even better.
I'll say for me, one of the key realizations in my health journey over the last 10 or 15 years was the first time I did intermittent fasting. And my cutoff time, I would go 8 p.m. to 12 p.m. would be the 16-hour window I was not eating. And so many times after 8 p.m., I would want to go get something to eat, but I couldn't because I'd already cut it off, right? I can't do it. And over, probably a couple weeks into it, I realized, I'm like, I don't want anything to eat because I'm hungry. It's just, I feel stressed. Boredom. Or I feel bored.
Right.
Just get something to eat. Boredom. We just are, so blessed to always to live in the land of prosperity and wealth that we do. But all of us always have food in our house, to go grab something. But it was a big realization for me. I'm like, oh, I'm not even hungry. I'm just eating to avoid something, avoid boredom or avoid stress. And it helped me to see food as there's food for purpose and there's food for pleasure, realizing which ones were which and which times you should eat which foods. Which was good. All right, landing the plan of the episode, Brian, if there is a takeaway, we call it our max out moment, or there's one thing, only one thing that you would share with our listener today, they'd walk away, they can incorporate into their life to become stronger. One tip, it could be one piece of advice, it could be one quote you heard when you're young, whatever you want it to be. What would your max out moment be?
Oh my God, all the pressure here. I always say that use the quote, and I think it's even on my website, if you don't have your health, what do you have? And I think that's just so true, because, we go all throughout our day. I think it's something that we don't prioritize all the time. So I just would say to probably your audience is start prioritizing our health and be proactive before, like we talked about, there's some type of urgent event that might come up. And so I think being proactive as you age about your health is not only puts it, yes, it's a way of being selfish, but on the other hand, your family's going to want you obviously around as you get older. And so again, you're being selfish, but you're also, doing something that's going to benefit your family down the line as well. So I would just prioritize your health and do some of those simple steps that we talked about today. And those things consistently, can go a long way. So.
I like that. And I'm a huge fan of looking at it from the angle of, from an entrepreneur and a business standpoint, you as a person are by far the biggest asset to your business and to your entrepreneur journey. And so if you're not taking care of yourself as the biggest asset, and that's the equivalent of changing the oil in your car, or, taking care of a machine that makes you $1 million a year in your business, your body is way more important than those things. And you as a business owner, entrepreneur, is way more valuable and way more important. So I love that, prioritizing your health, because it is, without feeling good, without being healthy, without having energy, you're going to struggle. Your family's going to struggle. Your business is going to struggle. For our audience, how do they connect with you? How do they learn more? Where can we go find out about the Fat Burner Blueprint program? Tell us where to find you.
Yeah, on my website, briangrin.com, and they can set up a quick chat if they just want to chat and see if, they're a fit for the Blueprint program, or, and then obviously when my book comes out, it'll be out on the website. And I've been getting back into blogging, because I was doing the podcast. I was like, I don't really want to write, but now I'm doing a weekly blog, adding on to that on my website, so they can check that out about different topics surrounding, health and wellness. So.
And you guys make sure you check out Brian on the Get Lean, Eat Clean podcast. You'll learn all kinds of awesome stuff that will help you optimize your health. Brian, thanks for being on the podcast with us today, man. We appreciate you being here with us.
Yeah, Chad, Josh, thanks so much. I enjoyed picking apart your lives.
All right, guys. And this episode brought to you by our newest sponsor, Tums. You can find them on Amazon.com, auto ship. Until next time, grow stronger, and we'll see you at the summit.
That was good.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Stronger Business Podcast, be sure to leave us a review and share it with a friend. You can find us online to connect at strongerbusiness.com or on Instagram and Facebook at Stronger Business. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'll see you at the summit.